Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that you're moving amongst us. And Lord, we just pray the Holy Spirit would quicken the word today to our hearts. And Lord, that you would come in for this vessel, Lord. And Lord, may we decrease and may you increase. And Lord, just have your way today. Lord, we just rejoice. Lord, this could be the last day that we're on this planet, Lord. This precious place that it's been so far. But Lord, this is not our home. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. And we long to be with you, precious Savior. So just have your way today. Have your way. And Lord, may the Holy Ghost quicken it. And we just thank you for the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. I want to thank Brother Ty for his wonderful delivery. I hope I don't have to use it, but the good Lord knows. The Lord put this on my heart a few days ago, and it's a message that's bittersweet. Some of you won't like it, but praise the Lord gave it to me. And I trust and I know that the brothers that preach in this pulpit and the sisters too, and it's been nice to hear some of the sisters preach. Praise the Lord, we're so gifted. And this message is something, the name of the message is called The Look of Love. And my text I would like to go to is in Song of Solomon 6:13. And as the songs went and so everything that's happened so far, I know why the Lord's given this to me. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will we see in the Shulamite as it were the company of two armies? This message that the Lord has given me, we've been hearing quite a bit about it. And somebody would say, well, it seems, Brother Kevin, that every time we come to church, we hear about the bride of Christ. And thus, that is true, but it's wonderful. And the reason why is we're a bridal assembly. We're looking for the Lord to come to take us home to be wed to him. And I was laughing when I thought about this song, The Look of Love. It was, but for you older people like me, you'll remember this song. It was by a person called Dusty Springfield back in the early 60s. And you young people won't know who that is, so you'll have to punch it in, but not now on your cell phones, and you can find out why. The several of the meetings that we visit and the world, they've asked me lately, they say, Kevin, what does it take to be an overcomer, or what does it take to be in the bride of Christ? I say, you know, a lot of assemblies don't teach on that, really what it takes. But there are qualifications to be in the bride. And some of us have them, some of us don't. Some of us are going along the way, and we've been victorious. But I believe that's the reason why the Lord gave this to us today, is because he's coming soon. And so many in the grace meetings today don't know about the qualifications. We hear the statement, oh, I want to be in the bride, and I'm loving his appearing, and we think that's about it, but that's just the start of it, precious hearts. As the Lord's coming upon this, there's four main qualifications we will look at this morning. We see all of these that are brought out in the picture-perfect book of Genesis 24 as a young girl takes her journey to meet her love. So if you'll take your Bibles and go to Genesis 24, and I wrestled a little bit with the Lord, but I'm glad he's a better wrestler than I am. I said, Lord, we've gone into Genesis 24 so much, but then the Lord says, I have some other things to show you today. So if you'll go there, and if you don't know where it is, you need to study your Bible. It's the first book. Genesis 24. And I'll tell you who the players are. I like to watch old movies sometimes, and I like at the beginning and at the end, they always have up on the head of the thing as the players, who the players were in the movies. And my wife got me to enjoy watching some of the old movies, and they're wonderful to watch. But in this story, Abraham is a type and shadow of God. Isaac is Jesus. Rebecca is the bride and us. The servant is Eliezer, the Holy Spirit. And plus, there's a secret helper we'll look at later. But in verse 1, it says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of the earth that thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now I'll stop right there. This is the first qualification in this story here. We must be a child of God. You know, and we hardly ever bring that out. I remember the Lord really convicted my heart about 6 years ago in the prison. I was getting up in the pulpit, and, boy, I just knew I had a dynamic message for these men about the bride and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, but you haven't found out who's saved and who's not saved today, Kevin. And that service, 11 men gave their hearts to the Lord. And this is even before I even opened my Bible up. The Lord said, shame on me. And I felt bad, but you know something? So I always start out a service in a prison to make sure who's saved and who's not saved. And you'd be surprised. And it's amazing how many men need Jesus. And we need today. So today, the first thing I would ask, are you saved? Being born again is the most beautiful, I can't even call it a thing, experience that there's ever been. And we know Rebecca, she was part of the family of God. Her name means ewe, and it's a mother sheep. Being fruitful, thou shalt not take a wife of the Canaanites. These Canaanites were unbelievers, and God was very adamant about that. Rebecca had always loved the Lord, and she was saved at a young age. And the servant met her. She figures one born of God. She is related to Abraham. This was Abraham's nephew's house that she came out of. Jesus told John in Nicodemus 3:3, you must be born again. In Colossians 2:14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not of the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. And we know today, I believe that there's people in our meeting week from week to week, they're not saved. They have never given their heart to Jesus. And that's the sad thing, because I believe Jesus is coming very soon. And I don't want to see anybody go to hell. So I will just say this, and pausing today on this road, on this journey with this young girl, are you saved today? Is there somebody in here who's never given their hearts to Jesus? They've never given their life to Jesus? I believe if you give your heart to Jesus the way God wants it done, your life will follow. It'll be a magnificent life. I married a couple one time, and I knew this man did not love this young girl that was in this meeting right here. And I did everything in my power to tell her not to marry him, because I knew he didn't love her, because his life didn't live it that way. And today, I'm just telling you that if you're in here today, it's so easy to become a Christian. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept the fact that you died on the cross for my personal sins. Make it your personal experience. Jesus loves you. We must be a child of God. This young girl, as we go on in the story, this Eliezer met her at a well. Now we'll read a few more verses. In verse 10, and the servant of the Genesis 24, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even at the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show me kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. And verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when he had done drinking, she said, I will draw water for thy camels until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied the pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all the camels. down in verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel of weight and two bracelets for her hands and 10 shekels of gold. And he said, "Whose daughter art thou, I pray thee? Is there any room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" Verse 25. She said unto him, "We have both straw and provender, enough and room to lodge in." I will talk about the next thing that we must have in our life. Salvation was the first one. And I'll just say one more thing about salvation. Salvation is a great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes as justification and redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation and forgiveness, sanctification and glorifications. This young girl was met at a well, which the well speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ's precious hearts. And we know that when we see Rebecca at the well, she was staying there serving the Lord. And one of the things that's so precious about you, we can tell over the years of people that have a special love for Jesus. Even before they hear bridal truth, you can tell when somebody has that special love for Jesus. When you talk to them, you can see it in their face. Somebody will come in for the first time and they'll just be so excited about the message they're hearing. You can tell they've been around the well. You can tell that they've been there feeding on the Lord and loving Jesus. And they're ready for the next step, precious hearts, which is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The king had before called her first, fairest among the women. We know this is the Shulamite. He also called her his love, the fair, the call, the thing in Song of Solomon. He said of her that she had dove's eyes. Now, I will say this. This has happened twice in the last 5 years. Brother Ty had an experience. And it's amazing how many things when you teach that somebody has to be filled to be in the bride of Christ, it really stirs up the flesh. And it shouldn't be, because we shouldn't have any dealings with the flesh that way. We should say amen. But I had a pastor one time who heard me speak back in Kansas, and he wrote me the next day a nasty email saying, "How dare you make a statement like that, that you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I thought to myself, this man's teaching at a Bible college, and I wonder if he's even filled. And I'll just tell you today that if you're here and you don't have dove's eyes and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to miss God's best. And that's just the way it is. I've been known for telling it like it is in the prison, and I hope to tell it like it is now in love and in grace. And as this young girl heard these things, these love things from the master servant, she was wondering. And we know, if you read this story, and it would be a good book to study, this 24th chapter, will we be empty enough to allow God to fill us with the Holy Ghost? Do we want the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord, which is found in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2? Do we want the seven eyes of the Lord and the seven spirits of God, which is Revelation 4, 5, and 5, 6? When we first get filled with the Holy Spirit, precious hearts, we have dove's eyes. This is another thing we don't hear taught very often today. When a person gets filled with the Holy Spirit, they have dove's eyes. But if they don't yield and they don't stay full of the Holy Spirit, that vision darkens. I've seen people come in here and get filled with the Holy Spirit and have a magnificent filling. But they don't study their Bibles. They don't stay on fire for Jesus. And over the years, their eyes become dim. And if you've ever seen somebody that just got filled, I always like to be around a place where somebody can look at their face in the mirror and see their eyes. And they say, "What's wrong with my eyes?" I said, "There's a glow. You have the Holy Spirit. You have dove's eyes." And that's what we need, is to have dove's eyes. And those eyes are far-seeing. They're very soothing. They're very comforting. And if you've ever been around a dove, it's a very gentle bird. But if we don't yield to the Spirit, we'll lose our heavenly vision. And we won't lose the Holy Spirit, because He is there too forever. But we want to have dove's eyes. In Ephesians 5, we see what it is to be full of the Holy Spirit. To be in the bride and to be full overcomer, we need to be continually full of the Spirit. He will guide us into all truth. A precious sister got filled here, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, and her eyes were dove's eyes. I was so thankful to be able to pray with her, to see her eyes. She had dove's eyes. What a wonderful thing, precious hearts. But not only will you miss God's best to qualify to be in the bride, but you'll never know your Bible as well as you could, because the Holy Spirit guides you and leads you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, and it's kind of ironic. I was thinking one day, I said, Lord, I always tell people this, and they probably think I'm nuts. I always tell people, I say, one reason you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit is so you can be a good worshiper. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm sitting there telling them, just start worshiping the Lord. And somebody said, well, I'm not filled yet. And I said, you'll be a worshiper after. But I said, but let's be a worshiper before. Aren't we thankful that Jesus died on the cross and now you could receive the Holy Spirit? And that's the one thing that's most magnificent, is to be full of the Holy Spirit. We had a brother years ago by the name of Al Schmidt. Bless his heart. What a tremendous, powerful man for God. He had a great gift of tongues and interpretation for the church, and he loved the Lord. And Ty made a statement, I think, a couple weeks ago about him, and he wondered how many years, and I told him how many years that he prayed. He prayed every day for 13 years to receive the Holy Spirit. And it was right up here, and it was on a Friday night during the prayer meeting, and nobody was here. I think there was only one brother in church, and he said, Lord, that's it. I'm not going to pray anymore. That's it. I give up. And then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. See, too bad it took 13 years for that man to let himself get out of the way to receive the Holy Spirit. But if you're here today and you've never received the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Comforter, you need this in your life. I know some people that are sitting here right now that aren't filled. Well, my family members say that I don't need to speak in tongues. Well, you need to read 1 Corinthians, what Paul said about that. I would that you all speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than you all, and forbid not to speak in tongues. It's a wonderful experience. This big Indian guy that got filled a couple weeks ago, he looked at me and I looked at him, and we both started giggling like two little kids. He said, I'd never heard about this, Brother Kevin, and that's not the reason he filled out a kite to see me. He said he needed deliverance from heroin. I said, well, there's no greater deliverance from heroin than the Holy Spirit. And bless the Lord, he sat on the front row when that fight broke out, and we were looking at each other, and I know if anybody would have gotten near me, he would have sat on him real good. But, you know, the Holy Spirit does magnificent work. So if you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, don't put it off. My mom thought I was crazy when I told her about the Holy Spirit, and I've told you before, and then I come to find out she got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was being born on my birthday. I asked her and I prayed with her after I came in the meeting, and I said, Mom, you've done this before, haven't you? Because I can tell you've spoken in tongues a lot, haven't you? She broke down crying and told me what happened. When she fell on the ice and was hemorrhaging to death, and they said that I probably wouldn't live and she probably wouldn't live. I was too small. Can you imagine that? Me being too small? Praise the Lord. But God is faithful. And my dad, my big old dad, the football player, stood right there when my mom spoke in tongues on the doctor's floor. And it praised the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is real. So I know there's somebody in here, and I know those that aren't filled. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I want you to have God's best. I want you to be in the bride of Christ. You'll never know how comforting the Holy Ghost is. The other day when my precious wife and our two little kids, that we call them our kids now, we were going down the mountain road, and I blacked out. I started to black out. And instantly everybody started laying their hands on me, and I heard people speaking in tongues in my car. And that brought comfort to my heart. Not knowing what they're saying, but I know they were praying for me. So praise the Lord. So I just tell you today, as Rebecca had to be there and listen to the Holy Spirit quicken the truth to her heart, what she said, Rebecca accepted the Holy Spirit, and she accepted him into her home. And she said, he asked if they could come in, and even the camels. She let down her pitcher to give him drink. And then she gave the camels drink also. That shows what kind of woman that is. She was a servant. She was precious. She didn't draw back. And then she gave the camels water after the servant. There's always an order of the things with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the order this morning. That was ordered of the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is an order, believe me. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to see the order that God has for our life. She accepted the earrings and the bracelets for her arms and her hands. This spoke of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. She was receiving everything the Holy Spirit was offering her, first himself and then the heavenly Isaac. She wanted it all. This little girl that was by a well, now she's receiving the Holy Spirit. The head servant had given everything that he had to her, and it was a glory time. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never accept the bridal calling in our life. I am amazed how many people read 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3, and they have no idea what that is. But that is the high calling for our lives, to be in the bride. And the third qualification is loving is appearing. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I'm looking for Jesus to come, Brother Kevin. And you look at their life, and you know what? But your life doesn't live it. Your life doesn't speak that you're living, looking, loving his appearing. I'm not just looking for Jesus to come as my Savior. He came 2,000 years ago. I'm looking for him to come as my bridegroom. And you have to live as the bride. There are qualifications. There are things. You cannot do the things in the flesh and expect to be there at that heavenly wedding. And I'm just telling you, that's not a legal statement. It's a statement because I want you to be an overcomer. God wants you to love his appearing. I know a lot of people that love Jesus. Well, Brother Kevin, I'm looking for Jesus to come. But you don't know how he's coming. He's coming first for his wife. He's coming first for his wife. In 2 Timothy 4:8, you won't have to go there. Paul said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. And I studied out a little bit about loving his appearing. Here's a couple of interpretations. Who have loved his forth shining, who have set their hearts on his coming appearance, who eagerly await his appearing, who have loved the thought of his appearing, and have yearned for and welcome his appearing and his return. As Rebecca listened to the holy servant, she began to fall in love with Isaac. She began to love his appearing as they drew near their final destiny. The only voice she heard and trusted was that of Eliezer, although there was other men there, as the story goes on. Do we hear him today? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Are we getting ready for the appearing of the bride, or are you getting ready as a servant? Precious hearts, we need the Holy Spirit. That will encourage us to love his appearing and know how to love his appearing. See, I remember I was at a party one time and I was telling somebody about the appearing of the Lord, and I realized I had a marijuana cigarette in my mouth. And the Lord said, are you really looking for me to come? And I thought to myself, you know what, Jesus, I hope you don't come right now because I know I'm going to miss it, because I was not loving his appearing. Jesse's been bringing up lately how the bride sleeps, Jewish custom, the bride sleeps in her wedding gown. See, are we not just sleeping in our wedding gown? Are we wearing our wedding gown, precious hearts? Some are looking for Jesus to come as their Savior. Some are looking for a Messiah, which will be Jesus. Some looked for Jesus as a healer. Many would want to be drawn to him. Whenever there's a healing campaign on, I went to see Peter Popoff one time. And if I offend one of your idols, I'm good. I hope I crush it. But I don't believe him or Benny Hinn have a gift of healing. I've never seen it happen. And that's another thing, too. Lots of saints, and bless the Lord, you can sock me in the stomach later for saying this, but a lot of saints are listening to people that don't know truth at all. And you know what it does? It hinders you. It dulls your sword. People have told me, some of the people they watched. I've watched, here's a good one that's going to get you, Charles Stanley. I know some people, the man does not believe in the grace of God. There's Benny Hinn, doesn't know any truth at all, the bridal truth. And then you know, Joseph Prince. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Joseph sees the grace of God. He does. I believe he knows the security of the believer. But, you know, some doesn't know a lick about bridal truth. See, and John Hagee, bless his heart, his little fat self. I like him. He's one of the Pudgy brothers. But I listen to him. Now, he talks about end-time prophecy, and he knows Jesus is coming, but he doesn't know anything about the ranks. So if I'm sitting there hitting your idols and everything, you can get mad and say, well, this and that. But I'll tell you, you listen to those people very long, and you'll get to the point you won't be able to rightly divide the truth or the Word of God. And we've got plenty of brothers and sisters to listen to. We have Bible college. We have the message. But do we live like it? Are we loving his appearing? I hope we do. In Matthew 25, we see two ranks of believers there. The church age is over. One of the ranks was being called home. We know they're at the wedding because they sing there. It was not their wedding, but they were called. At midnight, the bridegroom came and took them. So the next one, precious hearts, is overcoming. This is the hardest one. This is the one that, boy, our flesh fights about this. Overcoming. You're telling me, Brother Kevin, that I can be an overcomer, and I'm telling you the Word of God says you can be an overcomer. This is the most strenuous for many. We listen to the enemy and tries to tell us that we can do it on our own. We can do nothing in ourselves but fail. John in the book of Revelation was to write to this statement often. The seven churches, we did see some out of each of the seven churches did overcome. In Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Overcometh, this means to subdue, to conquer, or to prevail, this one. In Revelation 3:21, it says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcome. And this one in the Greek says, get the victory. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first came to Living Waters 43 years ago, that was a real famous statement to make. Well, just get the victory. You'd be standing there telling somebody something you're going through, and that person would stick their finger right in your face and say, well, get the victory, brother. And then I thought, well, you don't have the victory for saying it so snotty to me. I need the victory. I want the victory. I'm telling you, I need victory in Christ. And you're being snotty for telling me that way. But it's kind of funny. We do need the victory. Amen? Amen. We do need the victory. But we're living in a time the coming of the Lord is so upon us. When we see somebody that's not overcoming, we need to go up and put our arm around them and give them a tender kiss on their forehead and tell them how much Jesus loves them. And I don't care how much time. I had two more phone calls this week. I told you at youth camp. These boys that were brother, their mother was Brother Hill's antique dealer, Sylvia. Called me on the phone, Brother Kevin, can't you give me some money? Now that shows up how messed up they are trying to get money from me. How poor I am. And I told them, they said, well, we're already planning. We know we're all going to miss the first trumpet. So we're getting ready to be those palm wavers. I said, now you and your brothers are all saved. Come to find out they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, Jesus hasn't come. You can be in the bride. So if I had money, I wouldn't give it to you because I'm not setting up a palm waver to stay down here during tribulation for a year and a half. Boy, that Lord wouldn't like that. The Lord would tell them they can overcome. There's time. Look at the Thessalonian saints. We can overcome in Jesus. Rebecca had many things to overcome. Her family, if we go back and read the story, her brother, bless his heart, he was blessed good too. And I'll tell you something, a lot of times what happens when, as Rebecca received the Holy Spirit, I believe her brother did too. But he was a type and shadow of those that received the Holy Spirit, but they never go on any further. They never go on to have God's best. If he really knew what was going on, he would have said, Rebecca, can I ride on one of those camels with you and watch you get married? I mean, if I had a sister and some guy proposed to her, had never met her before, I would take a shotgun to him out in the parking lot. But this Rebecca, she was so excited about going. And then her mother and her brother said, will you go? And she said, yes, I'll go. I don't want to wait. So I'm just telling you right now, precious hearts, as Rebecca left on her journey, she took victories. It was hard, probably. Don't you think that as she rode away on one of those camels, she was thinking about her mother and her brother and those that were there with her and loved her and tucked her in at night? And I'm sure her brother was a good guy. I'm sure he was very nice. But guess what? How many are here today? You're the only one in your family that is running the race to win Jesus. It makes you sad sometimes because I've cried a lot of tears about my brothers. I wish they were both running the race. She will learn to overcome and take victories. She left with her nurse. That was that secret one I told you about in verse 59. This nurse's name was Deborah. Her name means word. And she is a type and shadow of the Apostle Paul. A nurse carries a messenger's bag. I was studying about what the nurses carry in their bag. It's called a courier bag with all the goodies she will need to treat the ones that need to overcome and that she's caring for. In our bag, as we follow Paul, as he followed Christ, we have his 14 books that he wrote. 14 means deliverance and salvation. There was 100 chapters in all. Brother Ty teaches these good things. 100 means completion, all for our correction and instruction as we journey on. So she took off with her nurse. Rebecca is saved and filled and full of the Holy Ghost, and has accepted the heavenly calling, her Isaac. She is now on the race course, and that's the next thing, the race course. So many today that think the saints can be on and win Christ as their bridegroom without even realizing there's a race course. And there's a dear, precious brother, I'm not going to mention his name. He told me about 6 months ago, he said, "Brother Kevin, I don't believe you have to run the race to win Jesus." I said, "Well, that's not what the Bible says." Paul says, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We do have to know we are on a race course. We do have to know what we're striving for. Reader's Digest about 4 years ago had a five-page layout, and it was called Running for the Prize. I got all excited like we should be reading something like that. Had nothing to do about bridal truth. Didn't know anything about the bride of Christ. But running the race on this race course is something that we need to know. If you're not running the race with the goal on winning Jesus, you won't have God's best. How many people today are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they think their loving is appearing, but they're not on the race course to win Christ? Paul said on his deathbed, you read that, we already read it, what he said, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. There's a crown laid up for me." And in Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are all so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain, precious hearts." We need to run and know that we're trying to run, and our goal is to win Jesus as our bridegroom. As Rebecca finished her race and the line for her prize, she looked a little different than she did before. In closing, I'll tell you what Rebecca looked like. Now, if you were a natural Isaac, you would run from her, because as she pulled up to meet her heavenly Isaac that day, she had four faces. Now, you can imagine, if you know where I'm going with this, you can imagine what she would look like, but each one of these faces is something we're going to have as we finish. She had a face of a lion. She had the face of a man. She had the face of an eagle. And she had the face of an ox. The four qualities of Christ. She was humble. She was bold. She had a heavenly vision to win him. And it says in Proverbs 45:13, "The king's daughter is all glorious within." See, there's a work going on in each one of us. Sometimes we look at each other, and when someone makes a statement, "Well, you don't know if somebody's running the race," well, you look at the fruit in their life. If there is no bridal fruit, and there is bridal fruit, precious hearts, and the greatest bridal fruit is love. Love for one another, love for him. When we treat each other bad, and we mock each other, and we don't encourage each other to say, yes, there's still time to win Jesus. A virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:10. Somebody said, "Well, where's all these qualifications?" There's 40 things that's found in this woman's life here. We know 40 is the number of perfect testing. Who can find? Are you going to be that virtuous woman, precious hearts? Her bridal wardrobe is found in Colossians 3:10. I was thinking about his loving his appearing, how magnificent it is. My wife and I went to Lyman a few weeks ago with Brother Todd. Some of you saw this precious sister that was here on that Sunday morning. And I thank you for going up and being kind to her and showing her the love of God. Her son, I've been going to see him once a month for 24 years in prison. And he hadn't seen his mom for 7 years. And it was the weekend that Brother Hawkins wanted us to come out and be with them at their convention, but we already made plans. And my wife and I didn't know what to expect. And when she came off the airplane, she was in a wheelchair. And she had a picture of me. Her son said, "He'll be the biggest one in the whole airport. Just look for him." And when she came out, she was waving her hand going, "Kevin, Kevin." Everybody in the airport, she knew who I was. And she was loving my appearing. And you know something? When we took her to Lyman that day, my precious wife and I got to experience something. that one is worth its weight in gold. As he came out, and that's the first time those two had saw each other in 7 years, the appearing was there. They both jumped up and ran into each other's arms and were crying and weeping. And they got Julie and I crying. We just sat there with all these other inmates around us while we were crying. And it was a love match. And that's what's going to happen with Jesus here any second. Are we loving his opinion? It all boils down to how much do you love him today? Do you have a bridal love? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you overcoming? And boy, we quit that race course over the easiest things there are. Well, that person said something to me. I knew a family that quit this meeting because they were all overweight. Now, look who's talking, the king of overweight. And they said, well, somebody said that we were overweight. And I said, well, aren't you? And I was joking with him because he was one of my best friends and I could get away with it. I said, but you know, we quit the race course at the drop of a hat. Well, I'm not going back to that church. Somebody said something and hurt my feelings. Well, praise the Lord. How much do you love Jesus? Where are you hearing this truth at, precious hearts? Where are you hearing about running the race and winning Jesus? And that's where it's about. That's what's about ready to take place at those that overcome. And say, I don't care, Lord. I've got off my camel many times, and he's an ugly beast. He bites you. He stinks. They have gas. I heard they got real bad gas. And I saw them, you know, it's better to be on top of them, facing away from that department that's back here. In closing, I want to read a poem. And this, I hope, is you and me. She runs and running leaves behind the world with all its pleasure. Her heart is fixed with joy divine, exultant mirth as new wine, for Christ is all her treasure. She sings and singing upward wings, her anthem Calvary's story, her eyes like doves, her feet like deer. The race she runs with vision clear, for Christ is all her glory. Now, is that us today? Is he worth it giving up everything for? I think so. I want to marry Jesus. I propose to him all the time. I said, Lord, you proposed to me, but I'm telling you, I want to marry you. I want to marry you more than life itself. I want to win Jesus as my bridegroom. I know I'm not a pretty bride, but that work is going on inside here. And that's what I want to do is win him. And don't you? Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today, Lord, that we can be here, Lord. And Lord, we've gone through these passages so many times. But Lord, there are qualifications. Eliezer had qualifications for Rebekah to be the one. He said, well, she's going to have to water the camels and give me a cool drink of water. And she met all those qualifications at the well. And Christ, when we're with you, all those qualifications are met. And Lord, as we yield to you, and help us to be like this Rebecca. Help us to be that one that say, well, let me water your camels. I would have wanted to run from those beasts. But Lord, she stood right there and she gave water to everyone. She cooled everyone off with her love and her desire to be a servant for the Lord. So Jesus, today, as we're here, Lord, in closing, if there's one that has got off their camel on their journey, maybe they're saved, maybe they're filled, but they've never been an overcomer, or they're not overcoming, Lord, and it's your love that draws us to be an overcomer. I can't look in the mirror and say, well, what am I overcoming? Lord, you know it's one battle at a time. And you've caused us to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And that good work that he's begun, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus. So Lord, help us to have our eyes on you. And as we see you coming out of that tent, may we have that veil that we put on. May we have that veil and get off and go get in our arms of our tender lover. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you would love a group of people like us. But you gave your best for us. Help us to give our best back to you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.